Chapter 2. The Land Itself. In the light cast by his lantern, Grim looked out over the cluster of bubbling springs surrounded by lush green vegetation and took a deep breath.
"The air is cleaner here," he said.
The prosecutors had led them up the hill and to the crest, where amidst the crags they had discovered this quiet oasis. Grim, determined to investigate before he risked his warriors, had led his vanguard in.
"It could be a trick," Savaclius said.
"It is a trick,"
Ultrades of the Broken Spear said. Like Grim, the Lord Celestant of the Guardians of the Firmament was stoicism given form, a warrior of iron will and determination who had earned his name by killing an enemy warlord with a broken spear blade torn from the Stormcast's own bloody side.
"Another ploy of the enemy. They could not bring us down by force, and so they seek to gull us with a safe haven in a landscape of horrors."
He shook his head.
"We should press on." "Our warriors require rest," Grim said,
glancing back at the vanguard of decimators and retributors who had followed them to the hill's summit. The bulk of the storm host still waited on the slopes below, grateful for the pause. All save Tegras and his retinue of prosecutors, who had flown on to see what could be seen of the trail ahead. While Stormcasts had incredible endurance, Zavaclius had been right. They were all worn down. The Rotwater Blight had sapped even the hardiest of them of their strength. Grim had been able to keep the worst of it from his warrior chamber, thanks to the light of his lantern, but even they skirted the edges of exhaustion. The other warrior chambers had lost brothers to the mire and sucking loam, as well as the myriad dangers that lurked on the fringes of their path.
"We need rest," he said again. "And this place could provide it," he added.
He lifted his hand.
"Listen." "I hear nothing," Ultrades said. "Exactly," Grim said. "The drone of the dirge horn has receded. Listen."
"He's right," Zavaclius said as he looked around. "I can barely hear it,"
he laughed.
"I almost forgot what my own voice sounded like."
"And more. There's fresh water. No flies, no steaming clumps of filth or poison,"
Grim said, as he started towards the closest spring. Ultrades caught his arm.
"What are you doing?" "One of us must test it. We have been without pure water for days. If this is truly a trap, better to lose one than many. I am Lord Castellant of the Steel Souls. It was given to me to be the shield for my brothers. And so it falls to me," Grim said.
He pulled himself free of Ultrades' grip and took off his crested helm of office.
"Do not fear, my brother. I have faith, and Sigmar watches over me, even here."
"As he watches over us all,"
Zavaclius said. Grim turned and went to the closest spring, where he dropped to one knee, leaned his halberd against his shoulder, and made to scoop out a handful of the clear water bubbling there. He hesitated, considering Ultrades' suspicions as well as his own. Then he plunged his fingers into the water and brought a handful of spring water to his mouth. At his side, Talon watched intently. The Griffhound cocked his head and clicked his beak interrogatively.
"Easy,"
Grim murmured, ruffling the beast's neck feathers. He took a drink, closing his eyes as the cool water rushed down his throat. After a moment, he cracked one eye and looked at Talon.
"Well, the water's clean, all right."
He drank again, relishing the taste of it. He felt as if a warm, golden light were filling him, and his fatigue sloughed away as if it had never been. Talon ducked his head and began to lap at the water with eager chirrups as Grim turned to the others. For the first time since his reforging, a broad smile split his face. Zavaclius stepped back.
"By Sigmar, it's poisoned him," he said.
"I'm smiling, you slack-jawed oaf," Grim laughed.
He waved a hand at those prosecutors hovering above, signalling them to alert the rest of the storm host that it was safe to climb to the summit.
"Get in here and drink, all of you. It looks as if we found the only pure water in this land."
He paused and added,
Better than pure.
He examined his gauntlet and the crystal-clear droplets glittering on his palm.
It seems our allies have not deserted us, and perhaps this land is not entirely lost after all.
He closed his hand and looked to the north, where another hill rose sharp and foul from the forest that clung to its slopes like a cankerous tooth. That was where his scouts had marked the sound of the dirge horn as emanating from. That would be where they would meet the enemy and set it to flight once more.
You started this fight, Gardas, and now I shall finish it. The steel in your soul is now in ours, and we shall not fail, he thought.
He turned around and watched as the storm casts knelt to drink, or to splash the clear waters across their filth-stained armor. He could hear the newfound hope in their voices, and the bitter outrage. They had been tested in the Blight, and it had not been easy, but they had persevered.
The hallowed knights shall not falter, he thought,
as he set his helm back over his head.
I shall see to that, if nothing else.
Their faith has been renewed.
Aye, Morbus, that it has. It has been sorely tested these past few weeks, with Gardas gone.
Grim looked at the Lord Relictor. Morbus Stormwarden was an imposing figure, his weapons and armor replete with icons of faith, death, and the storm. It fell to him to keep the souls of his fellow hallowed knights from the gloom of the underworld, should such a fate loom close.
Gardas is gone, Morbus agreed. But we stand yet to carry on his name.
He touched one of the icons on his chest plate.
When I saw what I saw, I never truly imagined that it would come to pass.
Morbus had seen Gardas's demise in a dream, and though both he and the Lord Castellant had sought to warn their Lord Celestant, they had been too late.
I never truly thought that the steel soul could fall.
Nor did I, Grim said. Why did you have to do it? He thought.
But he knew the answer well enough. Gardas was the sword, and Grim the shield. It was the sword's way to thrust itself into the enemy's heart, even if it shattered in doing so.
We did not know, Morbus said,
watching over the storm casts solemnly.
A vague premonition of doom is of little importance in times like these, when all of reality shudders beneath the weight of war. And Gardas was Gardas.
That he was, my friend, Grim said. And we are left to carry on.
He cocked his head.
Tegras,
he called out, as he glimpsed a familiar silver-clad shape circling above. The Prosecutor Prime swooped low over them.
We are close, Lord Castellant. No more than a few hours' march, Tegras said, anticipating his question.
And the enemy?
Beastmen,
Tegras said, dropping to the ground before them.
From what we could see through the trees, we are outnumbered. A dozen of them for every one of us. Ungor and Gors, some in armor. Bull Gors as well.
They gather in strength, Morbus said, leaning against his reliquary staff.
More enemies means more glory, Grim said.
He stroked Talon's narrow skull.
What of the dirge horn?
At the summit of the Tor, I believe, although even I couldn't get close enough to see for sure. They're clustered up there as thick as fleas, and they sent a hail of arrows my way,
Tegras said, gesturing with one of his hammers.
We shall have to fight our way up.
He looked at Grim.
It will be bloody.
Good. I'm in the mood for it, Grim said.
As am I, Tegras said grimly. Would that Gardas were here to share in this battle.
He crossed his hammers and bent his head. Grim and Morbus bowed their heads as well.
Would that he was. But he is not. And so we must fight in his name. We will teach the enemy that the steel soul is not so easily broken. We will teach them, Tegras.
So we shall, Lord Castellant, Tegras said, rising into the air with a snap of his wings.
Morbus watched him go and said,
What next, Loras?
We are owed a debt of pain, Morbus. I intend to collect it.
Grim lifted his lantern high so that its light was reflected from the Sigmarite that armored his warriors and threw back the shadows.
Who are we?
He asked, his voice carrying to every ear.
"Who are we?"
he said again, thumping the ground with the haft of his halberd.
"We are the Tempestborn, the Warriors of Lightning, the sons of Sigmar himself. We are Stormcasts. Who will be triumphant?" "Only the faithful,"
came the reply from hundreds of throats.
"They almost made us forget that in these days and weeks of horror. They have drowned us in filth, but we still stand, brothers."
He thumped the ground again.
"We are Stormcasts. Who will stand when all others fall?"
Grimm cried.
"Only the faithful,"
the hallowed knights roared. Astral Templars and Guardians of the Firmament added their voices to the cry.
"They thought to defeat us with noise, with ambushes. They thought to make us despair. These are the tools of a coward,"
Grimm said.
"Who knows no despair, save in failure? Only the faithful,"
the Stormcasts cried as one. Grimm swung his halberd up and pointed north.
"Listen, brothers. Hear the wailing of their horn, and know that it is the scream of a frightened beast. They thought to make us fear, brothers. Let us return the favor!"